This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, where we're talking about music. Do you listen to music at work to stay productive? We've just played Nat King Cole, Unforgettable. We got a message, heartwarming little message during the break from Maggie Best, and this is what it says.
Yeah, she says, thank you very much, guys, and just the right volume too. I can see my dad ballroom dancing.
You're welcome, Maggie. You're welcome. Right, let's get over to Twitter. We've got some messages over there. What have we got, Odds?
Lisa Bessie says, I can't work without music. It keeps me in the mood to work. And she wants Pink Lemonade by James Bay, if we have it.
Don't have.
Okay. All right. Next
Sorry.
One. Faiz Issa says, Scenario Kurja.
Don't have.
Then we have another one here by Baz who says, Alors Dance.
Guess what?
And we have a message here from Shamil Norshidi who says, music may actually be bad for creativity. Drum beats were synonymous with marching to war because the rhythm allowed soldiers to escape thoughts of imminent death. We are biologically designed to be thoughtless when we hear beats. Detrimental when a solution needs creativity.
There's elements of that have some kind of truth. I wouldn't say we're biologically designed to be thoughtless when we hear beats. What we are designed to do is to enter an altered state of mind. Doesn't necessarily mean that we're thoughtless. The idea of drum beats being synonymous with marching to war, I mean, that comes from generals like pounding on drums to get people to march in order, so I understand that. I don't see music being negative for creativity at all. So, you know, that's where I stand on that, as does my author, Daniel Levitin. Go read the book. Honestly, this is your brain on music. It will change your life. Now, WhatsApp.
Yeah, so we have a message from Timothy who says, music while working, definitely yes. I also switch between ambient background noise like cafes, rain, wind, etc. Helps me to concentrate.
Good idea. I've heard that before. Lots of rain sounds and wind sounds.
Yeah,
and
helps people to sleep also, I think.
White noise, you know. I used to live next to the highway, so I know what it's like.
So you get, like, natural noise.
I used to, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't matter if you like it or not.
Exactly. You've got no choice. Yeah, yeah. And even at university, I used to live next to a train line. That's entirely different, though. At 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was there.
What time do you wake up? 4 o'clock
Four
in the morning.
O'clock. Yeah, yeah. Okay, story number two.
Yes, so Grab has revealed more details about how it plans to be the leader in the region's online financial sector. They are doubling down on their financial services offerings, especially for micro entrepreneurs. The Grab Financial Unit is rolling out a checkout system for e-wallet, GrabPay, credit services for customers, and more insurance options for its drivers. Now, its Senior Managing Director, Ruben Lai, said yesterday, this is a huge untapped opportunity for Grab Financial to support the region's entrepreneurs who are less able to access traditional financial institutions. He also said that Grab can stand out by leveraging on its scale and data insights to bring financial services to market at a more competitive price point than anyone else. Now, here's the thing. A quick checkup found that, I think this was quoted in a DNA's article on Grab's fintech effort. And it said 27% of adults in the ASEAN region don't have bank... only 27% of adults in ASEAN have bank accounts. So, and this is actually data from the World Bank. And so this is why it's difficult for banks to assess someone's credit or risk ratings in order to give them loans. And this is where Grab actually has a great database of data from the customers that use that app, the drivers that use the app, the merchants who use their app as well, you know, who partner with them. They have all this data and they will be able to, well, assess your risk and, you know, your credit based on all this data, right? So that is where Grab comes in, and that is how they're going to kind of assess if, you know, you are trustable enough for us to give you money or not.
Okay.
So Ruben also said that the Grab app has served more than 9 million micro entrepreneurs over the past 6 years. And since SMEs contribute to more than half of ASEAN's GDP, two out of three businesses cited funding and financing as their biggest problem. So they know that this is something that businesses need, entrepreneurs need, and they have a way to assess credit that banks don't. So it just seems like, you know, the next logical step.
I want to like it, but I find myself being slightly skeptical.
Why?
Well, if you listen to the Breakfast Grill this morning and you saw any of the feedback regarding Grab in general, you know, and I'm not trying to steer it away from the whole fintech thing, but I think it deserves a mention. There are people who are not necessarily happy with the services Grab are currently providing. Mm. And I think that might have some kind of effect on the services that they are wanting to offer, because that's mud sticks, you know? And I think that's a bit of an issue. I've had the Grab wallet, I've used it, and I've chosen not to continue using it because of the way in which they kind of walled it off. Mm-hmm. And I think that I found that a little bit frustrating. If that kind of changes, you know, I'm willing to kind of explore it a little bit more and try it out a little bit more. I'm interested to see where they actually go with this and what kind of entrepreneurs would be interested in taking Grab up on these offers and what they're likely to do with it. I expect there to be a whole slew mm-hmm. of up-and-coming entrepreneurs going to Grab for money. But, you know, there's that whole thing of, well, they're a monopoly, they're this, they're that, and the other. And that's what a lot of people, I think, are thinking along the lines of. That's just my two cents.
Yeah, so that thing is there. But then whenever I see things like this, or like, how to say, like regional players like growing and stuff, you can't... The best thing about this news is that they are regional players.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
So a lot of like smaller companies, smaller startups, smaller ride-hailing providers and like e-scooter rental providers, these kinds of guys are always up for local or regional players becoming big in the market instead of someone coming in from the outside and then being dominant in our region. So it should be like either homegrown, or it should be like locally grown, or if you want to go like really big, it should be Southeast Asian grown,
right?
So that other people don't come and like govern how we use our services. So in that sense, the way Grab is like growing, and you know, the speed at which they're growing is good, because they are regionally grown, and it gives opportunities for other even smaller, regionally grown, like startups and stuff, which is good. How they move forward with this, like, you know, the stuff with the monopoly, and, you know, whether they have competitors and what kind of services they provide, those are the things that we'll have to keep them in check for.
Odds.
But, you know, for me, I think this just provides greater options. And also because they're doing this regionally, right? So the local players will have to respond with more competitive rates. Because if Grab can give you, I think they're offering loans of up to 100,000 Sing dollars to companies under this business initiative, right? So, and if they can do it at competitive rates, then it might actually force, you know, some of our banks to do the same.
Well, imagine, for example, you are wanting to... create a food outlet. You know, you've got Grab Food that can already tie in with that. That would be a nice, easy kind of wedge in. It's not a bad idea at all.
Yeah.
And again, it comes back to Grab being, you know, they know the local market. So it's easier to pitch your ideas to someone like Grab than it is to pitch your ideas to someone who might not be so sort of like well-versed with how the region works.
Keep convincing me. Come on. I know you've got more.
That's about it for now.
Okay. Odds, just before we go into a break, you were briefly going back to the story about the music. You were talking about a report that was talking about some of the most...
the music that kind of motivates the most. So I can't remember what year this study was done, but it was done by Northwestern University, Kellogg, I think. And they found that the top three, if I'm not mistaken, this study was done back in the late 90s, but the top three most motivating songs, you know, that will help keep you motivated at work or, you know, with whatever it is that you're doing, is In the Club by 50 Cent.
I'm not playing that.
Okay. Get Ready for This by 2 Unlimited.
I'm definitely not playing that.
Awesome track, though. And, of course, We Will Rock You by Queen.
Well, that I can play. Okay. Let's take a short break. A little bit of Queen coming up right now. When we get back, all about Google Stadia and what they're doing to enter the gaming market. You're listening to Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.